Ask a person about what is playing on their favorite streaming platform or what sports teams are playing, and you'll get a thorough response. However, ask them about the verses of the Quran or the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam or the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam, and they have no clue what to say. Some know the names of the entire sports team, but they can't name the 12 Imams. Today, we review the topic of spiritual poverty, secularism versus a God-centric life. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for the 24th day of the blessed month of Ramadan. You know, there's a term that is being used today called secular humanism, or often just simply called humanism as well. And it's a philosophy or a life stance that basically embraces human reason, secular ethics, and what they would call philosophical naturalism, while specifically they reject all religious dogmas, supernaturalism, and superstitions as the basis of morality and decision-making. Now, whereas in today's talk, I'm not speaking about such extreme forms of, extreme philosophies or extreme ideologies, and I would like to give the Muslim community the benefit of the doubt that we are just slightly off of the path. Obviously, there are those who have gone to a complete extreme, and they are obviously not the focus of our discussion. But there is no doubt, really, that more and more secular tendencies are being seen within the Muslim community. Those people who are supposed to be allowing their lives to revolve around Allah, around God in revelation, being God-centric people, are more and more adapting and adopting the secular tendencies that they live around. And this is not only seen in their personal relationship to God, meaning that, you know, when they leave the home, they are now going from Muhammad to Mo, from a Zainab to a Jenny, you know, from an Ali to an Al, and they don't pray at work, they don't wear the hijab out, they might even, unfortunately, drink alcohol because it's being done by their co-workers, or eat impermissible. Those are extremes, obviously, to one level, but we also see secular tendencies within our community organizations, how Muslim charities, how our masajid, how our religious centers are being run, more and more being built on secular teachings rather than the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet and his noble family. May God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Now, there should be no doubt for us, nor should any Muslim ever doubt that Islam is the only and the best way to govern society, to govern our home, to govern our communities, to govern the country. Islam is the only way. Islam is the best way. We may not have the ideal state today in the world scene. If you look at the countries, the 100 plus countries on this planet, the many that are made up of so-called majority Muslims that are run by so-called Islamic rulers, we might not see the ideal state today amongst them. Maybe there may be one or two that are places where we would feel comfortable living and, you know, spending our life in, but the majority are not like that. And that is due to numerous factors, not the fault of Islam, it's not the fault of the Quran, it's not the fault of the Muslims, it's the fault of others who have really, been at the forefront, I would say, of carving up these nations into how they are. And that's an entire discussion which I won't get into today. But a state, a government, a society run on the teachings of the pure Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family and his Ahlul Bayt, this is really the best option for everyone, Muslim and non-Muslim. And really in our communities today, for us who are gravitating towards secular tendencies, saying that it offers more rights to the women, it offers more of this to this marginalized group and this to this group and this to that group, we have unfortunately not really understood or even studied what Islam has to offer. We've looked at what Muslims have offered and thought that that is what Islam is. But there is obviously sometimes a disconnect between Islam and the Muslims, between what the Quran teaches and what a Muslim follows. Now, it may be argued by some, and I've heard this argument before, that a secular government is the best in some countries. And to an extent, they are right. You look at North America or certain European countries, for example, and a secular government is the best, rather than living under a particular religion in which you are limited. Because under a truly maybe secular society where they do not allow religion of any sort to infiltrate in the society, that would allow theoretically freedom to everybody, to all religions, to practice their own faith freely in private and in public. But unfortunately, and that, you know, that's a discussion that we can have, but unfortunately we don't see that in the world today. We don't see secular governments taking it to that level. And so even in the best of secular governments where they claim to not mix, you know, the church and state, as they would call it, when it comes to Muslims and other minorities, we see that we are treated differently. We see that, for example, when Christian holidays come, like Christmas, like Easter, that these are, you know, three, five, seven, 10 days are given off as vacation time. The symbolisms are ripe in a society, in the halls of justice as well, in the centers of power. However, these same government figures will say, well, no, we're secular. And some will even look down upon other religions, denigrate them, won't allow minorities to practice in the public. And this is where the hypocrisy of the secular state is widely seen. And so, as we have seen, that Muslims unfortunately have, some of them, I would say, again, not a majority, but there are some who have left the teachings saying that, well, Islam is between me and my God. It's at home. And when I go out into the mainstream society, I become like them. They have left the ideals of the religion. They have left their God-centric lifestyle, being influenced by other sources around them, unfortunately. We have to realize that these ways are shown in the Quran, that this challenge is shown to us in the Quran. Obviously, the anecdote is there as well. The resolution, the way to solve this is also presented. But what does God tell us about this? In chapter number 30, Surah Al-Rum, the chapter of the Romans, verse 7, Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. They only know what reaches to their senses from the outward aspects of the life of this world, but they are heedless and unaware of what lies beyond it and the hereafter. Really, this verse, brothers and sisters, highlights the problem of the modern mind today, especially in the Muslim community, I would say. We just see the outward beauty of the secular society that we live in, and we think that this is the end-all and be-all, that this is what is needed in society, that it can't get better than this. Where else can you find a society that offers free this, education and health care, and the best of this, and the best roads, and the best infrastructure? It's because, as Allah says, we only know the outward, the dhahiran of the material world. We don't look at the inner mechanics of what's actually happening. Sure, we get a nice hospital by our taxes that we paid for. The government did nothing. We paid for the roads. We paid for the hospitals. We paid for the schools. We paid for the infrastructure. It's beautiful, no doubt. It's great. But let's study it deeper. Look deeper beyond the apparent, as Allah shows us in this verse of the Quran. Again, this topic is vast. I don't have time to go into the details. I'm going to conclude with 3 points for today, and then I'll leave you until tomorrow. Point number one, the Quran constantly guides humanity to rise up and beyond their animal instincts and to be profound and deep in their thinking and insights, not looking at things from a superficial and base level. However, to achieve this, rather than expecting lectures to come down to our level, we need to work hard to bring ourselves up a notch. Point number two is the believer must maintain balance in their lives. There's nothing wrong with a transient world as long as being busy in it does not mean a person becomes negligent of the hereafter. That is when the life of this world is critiqued and criticized and the person is rebuked. Point number three, and we conclude. The actions which we perform in the temporal world have an outward shell, the zahir, and an inner core, the batin, and we must study and know both. At the same time, we must realize that the inner core of this actions of this world will allow us to know the realities of the world to come. God willing, we will continue tomorrow in reviewing another topic in Ramadan Reflections for 2021. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.